Hello and welcome to Campaign Mode, the best of the worst in amateur gaming podcasts. I'm your host, MEK, which is spelled kind of like LL Cool J, but with none of the same letters. With me here is the man, the myth, the legend, the co-host, Zango, who's probably thinking right now, whoa there, I came here to do a podcast, not be a myth and a legend. Why would you do this to me? But hey, we're full of surprises here. Thanks for being here, Zango.
Thank you for having me. Hope I can live up to the expectations you've set up so far.
I did set down some big shoes. More like threw them at you rather than set them down, but that's beside the point. So, we're here to analyze, yes, you heard that right, the Bungie thing, which I keep calling the weekly update at Bungie, which I have recently learned that is absolutely not what it's called. Goes to show you how much I read that. It's called the This Week at Bungie.
There's no yeah, the TWAB.
Yeah. Well, now I know why that acronym didn't make sense to me. Everything has become clear. So, you said that you have seen spoilers and stuff for Forsaken.
Yeah.
So please don't talk about those here.
Definitely.
Please don't. Okay, please don't. But from what you have seen, like, what are you most excited about? Like, what, obviously, besides, you know, the DLC itself.
I mean, I don't know how much people have seen of the raids or what the raid is supposed to be, but there are certain aspects of it that I'm excited for.
I've not seen anything on the raid at all. I've seen the title on the update page. So that's about as far as I've gotten. It's supposed to be releasing on September 14th, right? Yeah. Last Wish. I mean, the clip looks cool, like the little picture they have on the site. I'm already convinced that I want to do the raid with just that picture. I don't know. I just, the raids that we have now, I can't really get into them. I don't know what it is. It's the aesthetic. I'm just going to blame it on the aesthetic right now, because that's what it is. It's the aesthetic.
The new raid, it seems the aesthetics are better, and without spoiling anything, I definitely think that it's not going to be based on your skill as a gamer, per se, but more geared towards more analytical thinking.
Oh, that's good news for me. I can think. Potato aim over here, but I can. I got the thinking thing down pretty well. I'd like to think that. I'm a thinker. Well, I'm just going to quit that point before I get too ahead of myself. they're doing Gambit tomorrow, right? What is Gambit? I have not looked at really anything. I've seen those videos on the Bungie Twitter page.
So Gambit's their new PvP PvE hybrid mode where you have two teams on a map, but the map is separated by like a Vex warp gate. And you're trying, every time you kill enemies, you gather motes. Those motes you deposit to send more enemies to the opposite team. If you gather enough motes, you can send one of yourselves as the enemy. And you're like super buffed against the enemy team, like very stacked. Oh,
you basically make yourself a boss.
Exactly.
Whoever came up with this idea needs a fucking raise. That sounds lit. Like, damn.
If that's the case, then after this, I'm telling you about the PvP mode I came up with.
Remind me what that was again. I want to hear that again.
So
I want other people to hear that for posterity's sake.
Okay, so the Caliban strike where you're going in to rescue the fire team Caliban, but you end up not saving everybody.
I thought you said Taliban. I was like, I don't remember this.
No, the Caliban.
Never mind, carry on.
So it would be a mix between that and how they've organized Gambit. So you basically have two fire teams. One's down in the boss room. The other one's at the start of the mission of the strike. Now, as you kill enemies, you will also gather motes in the style of which they have Gambit, which can send enemies to the opposite team. If the team in the boss room kills everybody and no longer needs rescuing, they win. If the rescuing team makes it to the boss room to rescue that fire team, they've completed their mission and they win.
So you're simultaneously trying to, like, kill and rescue the other fire team. Or, you know, whatever.
Exactly. And then there's also a timer on it, like there would be, like, a nightfall. So it's essentially a PvP strike.
That could be cool. I could go for a PvP strike. I like strikes in general. And I like PvP. So I think combining the two would be... I'd have fun. I don't know about anybody else, but I'd have fun.
I just really like to work for Bungie.
Pitch them that idea. They might hire you. what's the August 28th update? So I noticed they did, when I got on, I noticed they increased vault space, which is nice because I'm a weapons hoarder. Like I don't want this in my inventory. I will probably never use it, but I'm going to keep it in my vault just in case. Like I don't think I've ever touched Risk Runner, but I have like two in my vault. Why? Don't fucking know. I just do. I can pretty solidly say I'm never going to use that gun. I do not use SMGs at all. I do not like them. Which probably has something to do with my potato aim, which means I'm firing at the sky half the time when I use them. But that's irrelevant.
I'm really, as a Titan main, I'm really excited for the changes to the Titan that they listed in the TWAB. So I'm completely hyped for Forsaken.
Just like, yes, this is my moment. This is what I've been waiting for.
Well, now one hit, one kill, as long as you have the special melee, not just a regular melee. So if you do that sprint punch, just kind of like you have the Hunter, Knife Melee, and the Warlock ability, Lifesteal style melee, that's a one hit kill. The Rally Barricade doesn't require you to get down to reload. It just gradually feeds ammo into your magazine over time.
Oh, that sounds cool.
The Helm of Saint 14 is going to be way more important because now when I cast Ward of Dawn, if you're on my team and you run through it, you'll get a overshield for a short duration after passing through.
They buffed Ward of Dawn, but not really. Yep. I've been saying for a long time they need to buff Ward of Dawn. Like, there's no reason, like, no offense to you smashy titans out there, all you smashy boys. There's no reason one smash should be able to destroy the bubble. Like, if you have multiple smashes, there's no reason it should be able to destroy. At least two. That's all I'm saying, at least two. And I don't think a Nova Bomb should be able to destroy the bubble and then kill everyone inside. I think that's bullshit. I think it's bullshit. Hmm. Because, like, Storm Transfer, when you go inside, it doesn't destroy the bubble, which I think is good. I'm really glad that it doesn't do that. But I think it just needs to be, like, it's not an offensive super, so it's kind of useless if it can't stand up to other supers at least a bit. Like, what's the point?
Like, I wouldn't mind. I know other supers can nullify each other, kind of like, you can golden kill me. I do think it's a little bit much that when you cast your what's that warlock ability, the void one?
Nova Bomb.
So if you cast that at my Ward of Dawn, not only does it take out my ward, my bubble, but it also kills me.
Yeah, it kills everyone inside the bubble.
Yeah.
I know, because I used to run that in Destiny 1. That was, like, my favorite tactic in Destiny 1. Because, you know, when, like, people would have shotguns inside the bubbles, and they'd be like, oh, I am so cool. People try to come in this bubble to get me, and I kill them. Like, psych, bitch.
Well, that
death
was
from above.
That was the best with Helm of Saint 14, because it would blind people as they came in, and then you just run suppression grenades and troll everybody whenever it was mayhem.
Exactly. It sucked to be on the receiving end of that, I'm not going to lie. But it was fun to watch. Like, if I saw somebody running that while they were streaming, always a blast to watch. The Shaden Ford was so real. Yeah, but until you're
like
me
and you grenade yourself, and now you're like, well, now I can't even use my own super.
That's great. Okay, that's the thing I also hate. Like, you should not suppress yourself. It's bullshit. Like, I used to, Destiny, the original. I don't want to call it Destiny 1. I like to call it Destiny the original. I used to, like, if I threw my scatter grenades like an idiot, they would kill me. I didn't like that. I did not like that.
See, that's what I hate about some of the grenades. Is they that first shot will kill you, like on the pulse grenade for the opportunities on Titan. That first grenade pulse will do damage or kill you if you're weak enough. But after that, the pulses don't hurt you. And it's like, can we make up our mind here, please?
Like, what's the point of a pulse if it's not going to damage with a pulse? There's no point in the pulse part. Is it just a light show? Like, are we just supposed to sit there and go, oh, shit, there's a pulse grenade? Like,
yeah.
Didn't they make a change to the trip mine grenades, too?
Let me look at the Hunter. Let's see. No, it's under grenades. So, what would that grenade be called?
I don't know.
So the grenade changes are Axiom Vault, increased base damage, increased the amount of time it takes for tracking strength to lessen.
Huh.
Flashbang, increased base damage, incendiary grenade, and increased base damage again. Storm grenade, increased base damage. Scatter grenade, retuned range and falloff ranges for the detonations for more reliable damage.
That's magnetic, nice.
Yeah.
That's magnetic, very nice.
I hate the scatter grenade. That's kind of like the, what's that grenade launcher there? The colony? the skip grenade. Increased impact damage of each skip drone impact for a higher total potential damage. Nice. Void wall grenade, increase the damage of initial void wall wave.
Boo.
So when it first sets up.
You're here to give the info. I'm here to boo Hunter abilities. That's what I'm here for. Yeah, I thought I heard something about trip mine grenades, but I'm not entirely sure. Maybe I was just, because I get my information through Twitter. That's it. That's how I get my information. So maybe I'm just completely off base here.
Well, this is trolling the community. The changes for Xur will no longer display a vendor icon on destination maps.
That's just rude.
Looks like I'll have to download that Xur app again to figure out where he is, because I'm just lazy.
The people who make that Xur app are like, yes! We are relevant again! Maybe they have like some sort of deal with Bungie. Like, look here, motherfuckers. What was I going to say? I can't remember. Crucible mode. What was that new crucible mode that I'm looking at? Did they, what is that? No, breakthrough. What is that?
Breakthrough?
The breakthrough. I meant the breakthrough. I'm reading the fucking thing and I'm not thinking about what I'm saying. New crucible mode, breakthrough, new crucible maps live.
Hang on.
I don't understand what they mean by breakthrough new crucible maps. Like, what's so breakthrough about?
Where are you reading that?
It's on the bottom, right next to the between Iron Banner and Festival of the Lost Returns, which I'm happy about. I'm really excited. I wanted Festival of the Lost because that's the only event I care about. If we're being honest here, it's the only one. Where is it? I'm trying to find it.
Okay, we were on two completely different pages. That explains a lot because you're on the blom, you're on launch, and I'm on the twab. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm on the fucking.
Season of the Drifter.
Season of the Outlaw is what this is called, I guess. When did games start doing seasons instead of years? Or was that... Am I just, like... Has that always been a thing and I just never noticed? I thought games were measured in years.
Typically they would be, but it's been a big thing ever since Overwatch started doing it, then PUBG, and then Fortnite, and... Ever since Fortnite has risen to popularity, like, I'm surprised that Bungie hasn't been like, hey, guess what? We're going to do a PvP Battle Royale mode. It's like, oh boy, another Battle Royale game.
Woohoo. Love those Battle Royale games.
Yep.
Love it. I was looking at the year one infusing stuff. A player logs into Destiny 2 Forsaken on September 4th at character level 30. The player receives new gear with a level 31 character requirement. The player infuses the new gear into their favorite year one gear. This year one gear is no longer available for you since it has adopted the level 31 character requirement for its infusion material. Okay, so they changed that. Like, before it was, they had to... You couldn't infuse something higher into something... That's not what I mean. You couldn't... If I remember correctly, you couldn't infuse a higher level... Like, if the gear was for a higher level, you couldn't infuse it at all. Like, it just wouldn't let you. But I guess now you can... You can do that. I guess it was like the, you know, the old green and white and blue gear. You couldn't do that. So I guess I kind of, it's different, but it's the same. I can't do words right now. I can't read and do words at the same time. They want us to pay extra attention to the character level requirements on their gear, on our gear. I'm not a fan of the mods, though, so I don't... I mean...
Well, mods are going to matter now that you're going to be able to get random rolls.
Oh, okay.
So not everything's going to be the same.
That's... Okay, that's nice. Because I was like, mods, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm sorry. Don't really give a shit.
Well, the mods I liked because it was a way for me to get more powerful because, honestly, with the way Destiny 2 changed a lot of things, it took me a while to adapt. And I didn't realize a lot of things at first. That way, kind of like in Destiny 1, I didn't know there was a way to lock weapons. And I can't tell you the amount of stuff that I deleted that I still feel bad about.
At least you didn't pull a me. I accidentally dismantled my year one icebreaker. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, just fucking stupid because I saved the original Kvostov. So I still have that stupid fucking white gun. But I, yeah, dismantled year one icebreaker. That, I think that's the one thing that still really physically hurts me when I think about it.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned about Destiny is, like, all those fragment things that you could get, like, the memories. That says this item is now safe to delete. Nope. Not doing it. I remember the box of raisins from the freaking Festival of the Lost. I remember
still
that
in
shit.
My Destiny. It's still in the tiny box of raisins or something. Doesn't you have to turn it celery to get that? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like turning different stuff to different vendors.
And you had to give her like the celery or something to get the tiny box of raisins.
Yep.
I think I still have that on my character, the tiny box of raisins. I'm pretty sure I still have it. I guess people said, like, if you, like, consumed it or something, it would give you something. And I was like, I don't care. I'm keeping the box of raisins as, like, as a souvenir. As a memento.
I wish they made it so you could lock the items in your inventory.
Yeah.
because I don't want to accidentally ever delete the ramen coupon from Cade.
Yeah. They should do stuff. They should. They yeah, that's something they should do, I think. I don't know why they haven't thought of that. Oh, did you get the... were you eligible for the t-shirt?
Yes.
I was not.
No.
That's okay. I didn't particularly...
Oh, you didn't get permission to spend money?
I don't... Don't you have to get, like... You had to get points or something? I didn't get points. I didn't do it.
Yeah, you had to get, like, 300 points and complete the milestones and master... You had to get, I think, like... Was it 250?
250, yeah.
Yeah, so I just made it over, like, 300. I think I had, like, 320 or something like that.
Yeah, I took one look at my Vanguard standing and went, ha! Right. Like, this is going to happen. It's like, I don't have the time or the patience for this. Like, I'm working on other stuff. I'm a casual Destiny player. Like, I'm the definition of casual. Like, I don't play it by myself anymore, which is weird, is because I would spend at least 4 hours a day when I got home from work and stuff playing, you know, original Destiny. Like, that was my main game. I put so many fucking hours into that. And now, like, and I played most of it solo. I didn't play with another person until the Taken King. Well, okay, that's a lie. I had one rando that joined up on me one time. We ended up in, like, a fire team chat, whatever, and then we'd occasionally play after that. But, like, I didn't, like, have teams or, like, I didn't have friends to play with until the Taken King. So, it's really weird, like, for me that I'm not doing anything on Destiny 2 solo. Yeah, I can't remember a time. Well, okay, aside from that day where I did 7 hours of Iron Banner to try to get this one piece of armor that I never got. You know, the true Destiny experience right there. Other than that, I haven't really played it by myself. I think Crucible is the only thing I play when I play by myself, is because most people cannot go as long in the Crucible as I can. I mean, I think most normal people would not go for 7 hours of Iron Banner. My average with Iron Banner is about 4. I'll sit down and do like a 4-hour Crucible session. So I think that's not a very normal thing to just sit down and do like 4-hour sessions of Iron Banner.
Yeah, I don't really. I'm not a big PvP person because, I don't know, I was playing a quick play the other day and it fully cemented how I feel. It's just like, if you want to sweat and play that way, they've made a competitive mode. Go over there and grind against those guys. It's called quick play. This is for us filthy casuals that have full-time jobs and everything else, and we just come in here to fulfill my bounties and go on my way. That's all I care about. I'll do the 5 Shacks bounties, try and get some weapon unlocks, try and get some more coins, because right now I'm trying to gather as much Vanguard tokens, as much Crucible tokens, as many weapon parts as I can, so that way when I level up in, after Forsaken, those, when I turn those in and get engrams, they'll drop at a higher level, rather than getting gear that's going to be obsolete in 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was something that I learned from...
Well, that's a new one to me.
Yeah. So I'm not turning any tokens into even, like, the planetary vendors like Devrim K and Anna Bray. So...
Oh. Well, there's a strategy.
Which
I got
Anna
now.
Bay was accidentally dropping Forsaken gear, and I got a Forsaken helmet for my Titan. I know Virus got a one of the guns.
Oh, so they're dropping that shit already?
Yeah, it was an accident. Like, someone opened them off. Probably the same kid that goes, teacher, did you forget to assign the homework?
Oh my god. Oh my god. Why would somebody do that?
Yeah.
It's like people are so desperate to like give out the information and be like the person who has, you know, the first person to, you know, get the scoop and throw it out there. It's like, shut the fuck up. We don't want Bungie to know about this. Like,
exactly.
At least in the Halo days, anytime there was like, you know, a glitch to be exploited, they would only ever find out via YouTube videos. And a lot of people would already have experienced that glitch thing by the time those were discovered. So. Also the, you know, forums. Because people like to talk about that kind of stuff on forums. But as far as I know, like, this is, to me, this is, like, I've never seen this with any other game before. Like, the people who are super desperate to be like, ah, yes, I was the first person to give out this information. They're, like, they do that at the risk of spoiling things for other people.
Yeah, that's...
That's what I don't understand about spoilers. Like, why would you want to be the first person to ruin something for someone? I don't get it. Why?
Misery loves company.
Right. Like, why? If you're actively going to go seek it out, like, why would you share it? Like, I mean, I understand sharing it privately, like, but hey, you know, do you want to hear about this thing? But if you're just going to, you know, put it out on a, like, a public social media site, you're an asshole. An asshole. And I hope you have the most scalding hot showers for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the only thing that I'll do is, like, when I do my map glitch research and I find one, the first thing I do is I record it and I post it online, because I don't want to be like, hey, look, I'm the first one that found it. It's like, actually, I've known about that for weeks. I just never said anything. Because that's happened to me before. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm like, when I found that map glitch on IO,
I was like, I couldn't get to because I was a hunter.
Yeah, that's how it went.
Who knew the vertical jump would not get you there? I tried. I tried so hard. Yeah, you were the first person to discover that, as far as I remember.
Yeah, and this, with the Warmind DLC, I found a couple on Mars. So.
Oh, wow. So you have the scoop. You should make an entire YouTube channel dedicated to you finding glitches.
See, here's the problem that I have with YouTube is, like, I'll probably never listen to this podcast because I can't edit videos because I can't stand the sound of my own voice. And I just can't seem to get around that.
I can relate. Just think of me having to edit this podcast and having to listen to my own voice.
It's like, I really sound this way? Why does anyone even want to talk to me?
Yeah, that's what the old podcast. People are like, oh, well, I mean, it's not that hard to edit, you know. 4 hours or so of recording time, is it? I was like, have you ever tried to listen to your own voice for 4 hours? It's fucking hell. It's hell. You can't, like, clip a podcast. You can't really do that, if you know what I mean. They can't just be like, oh, that was funny, and then clip it. Like, no, that's not. You can't do that like you can with gaming. It doesn't work that way. So you have to sit there, and you have to be like, oh, yes, I sort of remember, like, this subject. I wanted to include this. But then you got to listen to 15 minutes of you talking, and you're like, why do you talk so much? Will you shut the fuck up for once?
That's why you got to get one of those, like Chris has that voice modifier. Just play yourself the voice modifier.
So I'm not hearing myself. I'm just hearing, you know, Alvin or any one of the other chipmunks.
Hey guys, welcome to campaign mode.
Just my luck, people will be like, why is a 12-year-old doing a podcast?
Oh, man.
A 12-year-old doing the podcast. I mean, that could be a draw, right? Yeah. I'm not actually a 12-year-old, I'm just using a voice changer. Ta-da, I've been lying to you. Yeah. That was the problem. That's why I'm using this Anchor app, though, because it seems like it's a lot easier than sitting down and going through 4 hours of audio to try to find, like, a hour-long podcast. Whew. I never made the last podcast we did because I was like, this is 4.5 hours. I cannot. That's how I felt about that. So there's still, like, maybe someday I'll be like, ah, bonus episode. Have fun with these 5 hours over here. Go wild, guys. I don't know what's in here. Like, it's a surprise. So. I know there's a lot of, like, world's first for Destiny stuff. Like, I know there's the world's first raid, obviously, right?
No.
But I'm looking at the blog post, and it says, like, there's a Chronicler seal and a Maximum Glory and Competitive, and, like, so there's more than one world's first?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I figured there would be world's first for soft heroes, world's first for, like, getting the Whisper, world's first for getting the Whisper Catalyst, probably both shy.
You're not wrong.
But, I'm sure there was the world's first to get the ship for Solstice of Heroes. Stuff like that, so.
Oh. Maybe I should try for world's first in something.
Yeah, the world's first on Solstice of Heroes law required you to get purple level armor on all three characters. So you have a hunter, a warlock, and a titan. And essentially, if you include doing the story missions on all three characters, so you're doing it the first run through, and then you're doing three additional. So you're essentially doing every mission 12 times.
Yeah, that would be worth
it. And as much as I love the missions in Destiny 2, they don't have that much replayability, in my opinion. I'm just saying.
I would go back and play the... Okay, well, I'm a liar. I'd go back and play the base game missions in the Dark Below and the House of Wolves. I couldn't be bothered to go back and do the missions again for the rest of them. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't really much care for the Axis. What was that one? The SIVA?
Yeah, the whole entire SIVA DLC. I guess it's called Rise of Iron, isn't it?
Yeah, Rise of Iron.
I guess that's what it's called. It wasn't for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, the plague lands and stuff were cool. I liked exploring, but it just didn't feel right.
I want to see them bring a new enemy into the fold.
What do you mean?
Like, it's always Fallen, Hive, Cabal, Taken, Fallen, Hive, Cabal. Like, show me why there's those creepy triangles at the end of the story mission in D2. Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, the ones sitting out in space.
Yeah, dude. Like, blasting the light hit and they all turned facing Earth. Like, what is that? Like, that's...
I'm hoping we'll find that, like, that'll be, you know, relevant. Because, you know, they say the Awoken in Destiny 1, the ghost is like, oh, the Awoken live out in space, the last place the light touches. Right? So I'm wondering if that was, like, the last place the light touches. Like, maybe that had something to do with the Awoken. Maybe.
Maybe.
I also have another theory.
That was, like, Aldrin Saad's fleet or something.
Yeah, maybe that was his... Maybe he, like, I don't know, built himself a ship made out of the hopes and dreams of the Destiny community. But I had another theory. Where, you know how Aldrin's, like... spoiler alert. Cover your ears if you don't hear this. He's like, the line between light and dark is so very thin. Like, maybe that's why. It's because they live out the last place the light touches. Like, they're so far out there. It's kind of like, you know, they're like, oh, we can go back and forth across this good and bad line. Maybe that has something to do with it. I also have another theory that, I have two theories. One theory is that, I think this is actually just a headcanon for me, that Tanix found out while he was, you know, being contracted out as a mercenary, that he found out about, Uldren and how much of a bad dude he was and that he was making secret deals with barons and shit. And he was like, oh, fuck, you know, this is bad. And Varix is like, hey, queen, we gotta kill this fucker before he, you know, spills the beans. And, you know, because the Guardian doesn't speak Fallen or whatever, we can only, like, all we have is, you know, Varix's translation. Like, that's all we got. we can't understand him ourselves. So when he's like, oh, he has called you out, guardian, in the ways of old. You know, Tanix is calling. He's like, oh, Tanix is calling you a bitch. Go fight him. Like, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was trying to be like, wait, stop shooting me. Stop. Like, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you things. This is important. And Tanix, and then Varix is like, oh, no, he's calling you a bitch. You should go kill him. Just, yeah, go kill him. Like, maybe. That's my favorite fan theory. And it's mine. But my other fan theory is totally about face on this. That in these secret deals, like, some of the weaker fallen were, like, handed over to the Awoken, you know, because Marasov's like, oh, it does not understand that these ones are mine. Like, maybe in one of those deals, they ended up with fallen slaves, and Varix is, because he's, like, you know, eloquent in human language, in Awoken language, whatever, the common language that everybody speaks magically.
Yep.
Since he's, you know, pretty good at speaking it, maybe he got, like, a high, you know, kidnap slave place, and they're like, oh, he's useful. We can use him. And he's having us go kill, like, Skolas and, you know, Tanix and everybody who could possibly, you know, kill him and everyone else if they try to, like, get out of that situation. And Petra is on the right side, and she's trying, that's why she works with Varix, is because she's trying to help him out with that. So they're both lying to us, but to the end game of trying to overthrow the Awoken and the secret deals with the Barons that left them trapped with the Awoken and their shit.
Wow.
I know it's complicated. I spent a lot of time thinking about that. Which is funny, is because I actually had that theory before Forsaken came out. I was kind of sitting on that, like, Petra, what if Petra and Varix are working together? Because, like, you know, the fallen that they have there are slaves, and they're trying to get out. Like, Varix is trying to get out and disappear and get away from that. And Petra's like, this is wrong. I'm helping him. So they're trying to kill every fallen that could potentially be, you know, sent out to bring it back. Like, that's why they gotta kill the Archon priest that was busted out. And then Forsaken starts dropping. And I was like, oh my god. The secret deals with the Barons fits right into my theory. Oh my god.
But I did hear one theory, and if he is right, spoiler alert, but I don't think. But it comes from Lord and Savior Bife, and how he speculates that the DLCs are going to go in order. And so far, he's been correct. Of when we see the light leave the Traveler and go through our solar system, what planet it hits is shown.
Huh.
So we got shown Earth.
Uh-huh.
We had the main mission with Gaul.
Yeah.
Then next is shown Mars. We had the DLC. No, not Mars. Mercury is next. Then and we had Osiris.
Uh-huh.
Then next is shown Mars. We had the Rasputin DLC.
Uh-huh.
And then, but this one doesn't line up. Because we're going to the reef. This is the only one that doesn't line up, because it doesn't show it going through any type of asteroid belt, which is where the reef is supposed to be.
Yeah. Which is why I want to say that clip at the end of, you know, with that thing out in space, maybe that's what it was. Maybe. People keep saying it was like a Vex thing, and I was like, that doesn't look like a Vex thing. Plus, like, why would Vex need a ship when they can just teleport through time and space? That makes sense.
Exactly.
I think you guys are just getting confused because you think triangle things equal Vex. But yeah, I had this crazy theory when Osiris dropped that I was like, ooh, we're totally gonna go for like the Vex thing, and you know, that giant, like, you see that red eye, you know, in the trailer. And I was like, oh my god, what if it's like, you know, Kabir like made armor for himself and was eventually like absorbed by the Vex or whatever. Like, what if he comes back as like a fucking Gate Lord or something and you have to fight Kabir? How cool would that be? And everybody's like, that's stupid. Why would they do that? And I was like, well, I thought it would be cool. Like, I would like that story.
Yeah.
I liked Vault of Glass. I liked that whole thing with like everything is like time has been erased and shit like that. I like the Vex stuff, okay? I know people are like, the Curse of Osiris was lame. I like it. I like anything that has to do with, like, alternate realities and, you know, changing futures and stuff like that. I love that theme. I like it. I think every Vex themed, I guess, content that we've gotten from Destiny, the original, and Destiny 2, I like it. I like Osiris. I think I like it better. This is going to get classified as heresy. I just know it. I like it better than Warmind. I like Curse of Osiris better than Warmind. The boss was really disappointing, though. The boss was disappointing. I liked the lead up.
You should buy lottery tickets because you can predict the future. Heresy, I tell you.
Next, I'll read your palms and say it's unpopular opinion that maybe Uldred isn't the bad guy after all.
He killed Cade? I don't care.
But did he? What if Cade was the bad guy the whole time?
How?
I don't know. But, you know, like, I'm fucking 343 figured out a way to bring back Cortana as the bad guy, so you never know. Video game developers think of some crazy shit sometimes.
Yeah, especially when it's the same one.
What if this person who was good was actually bad? There's a classic plot line for you. Yeah, the plot twist no one is surprised about. Like, oh god, are you serious?
Did you see the trailer? Have you seen all of the trailers for Forsaken?
I believe so. I've seen The Last Stand. I've seen the one where, you know, they say Ikora calls Zavala a coward.
Uh-huh.
She's a coward about it. She doesn't just look at me like, you're a fucking coward, Zavala. She's like, to not avenge him is cowardice. She doesn't just look him in the eye and be like, you're a coward. What happened to the guy that wanted to punch the Almighty out of the sky? Where is he? I need him back.
Yeah, right.
I want Jax to do something. Like, I was so excited when he held the door for us. We were running through, like, the ruins of the tower. I was like, yes! Jax is out here protecting the people. Yeah, Jax is doing stuff. And then he just fucking sits in the tower again all day. It's like, god damn it. Seriously?
But, like, more Ikora was the most badass, followed up by Cade, followed up by Shax, followed up by Zavala, because if you order their actions in the original story mission, Ikora totally freaking Nova bombed that ship.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you won't take no more from us, pow, and jumps on the thing. And then you have
Cade.
She just
fucking rodeos like an entire ship. It's like, oh wow, Jesus, Ikora, goddamn.
Save some for the rest of us.
Yeah. And then Cade just comes up and is like, what's up, Guardian? I've just been thrown around a room by a bunch of Cabal. Oh, excuse me while I pop this golden gun.
Pow, pow, pow.
I ooze cool. Way more than you do.
Yep.
Let me just casually disappear into thin air after that.
Then you have Shax doing something useful, protecting people. And then you have freaking Zavala. I'm just going to continually pop a weak-ass, short-ass freaking Ward of Dawn on the tower 3 times.
Well, maybe he's not very good at Ward of Dawn, okay? Because he's in the Smash Titan mission talking about Smashy Titans. Like, he knows his shit. Maybe he's a Striker main, and he only switched to the bubble out of panic. I think the best of us have done that.
That would need more credence with the whole precursor mini-movie that they did. With the origins of Zavala.
Oh, I didn't never see that.
What?
I didn't see that. Oh, as Zavala, I don't care. I don't care about Zavala. He's like one of my least favorite video game characters of all time. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit about anything that has to do with Zavala. But, Shax was solely responsible for getting the people out of the tower. But he did fail on one front. He did fail. Wow. He failed to get Eris out of the tower, but, I mean, I can't blame him. He probably, like, threw a, like, pile of rubble on her and was like, oh, no, Eris perished in the tower. Oh, God, it's so tragic.
I wonder if she responded with, Shax, get these rocks off my body.
uh, Oh, I hope so. That would have been great. All right, well, I think it's about time to wrap this up.
Okie dokie.
So, any last words? If you say, I swear to God, if you say... I knew you were going to. I was like, God damn it, I set him up for that. I'm going to say, like, don't do it. Ho, don't do it. I totally was like, he's going to go there. I know it. But, yeah, are you excited? Like, are you... Are you at least a little bit excited for the new DLC?
I have Monday off of Labor Day and tried to get my boss to give me Tuesday off instead. And she's like, no. I'm like, damn. And she goes, why? And I'm like, video game release. And she goes, really? That's why you're asking? I'm like, yes. Very important to me. So, yeah.
It's like, if you played this game, you would know. Like, this game has taken up almost 5 years of my life. Get out of here. This game is how I met all my friends.
Are you excited for it?
Oh, yeah. I'm fucking... Okay. So I have not been, like, excited for a video game. Okay, well, that's kind of a lie. I'm excited for Allison Road. That's about it. Which is a game that's been in development for, like, 3 years or so. But speaking of 3 years, I was severely disappointed in Halo 5. And they, like, super hyped it up, too. Like, I was so excited. Like, I was just... Holy shit, I was excited. Like, I tried to get the day off for the midnight release because I was working that midnight release. And it killed me. And then I played it and I was like, this is fucking garbage. Like, objectively, like, it's not awful. Right? Like, it's not as awful as I make it out to be. But that game was such a severe disappointment to me that I will always hate it. Like, you promised me things and you did not deliver these things. You lied to me, and now I have to play as the main character in Ridley Scott's miniseries fan fiction. You've lied to me. So I have not allowed myself to get excited about a game in 3 years. But Forsaken, I am super fucking excited for. I am super excited for it. I know there's people who are like, oh, you know, don't fall for it. You know, you're just a bunch of sheep falling for all of their, you know, smoke and mirrors. It's like, me being excited doesn't do shit to you. Shut the fuck up. Let me have something to be excited about. I haven't been excited about something in years. Let me have this. You can be a negative ass piece of shit. Great. But don't shit on me for being excited about something.
I'll go here with that. I'm cautiously optimistic. I've been that way since I've been the one buying them and not my parents.
Yeah. See, cautiously optimistic is good. Instead of, you know, ragingly pessimistic. Like, there's no moral high ground in being that person who's like, ah, they're gonna fail me. Like, there's no moral high ground in that.
And I only bring up this point as a brief segue, is you have people around the country complaining about wages. Now, segueing into the Destiny thing, you have all of these developers that have families and bills and everything else, like everybody else does, working their job. They put all this blood, sweat, and tears into coding this. And I know computer coders that even say, like, this takes a lot of work and a lot of time. You know, these people have deadlines and everything else, too. They've got to make money.
Yeah.
So
they have to make money.
If you don't want to spend the money, then don't do it. But don't knock off the ones that do want to invest in it. Let us be happy. Like, let people enjoy things.
Yeah, and let people enjoy things. For fuck's sake. Let people enjoy things. Like, I'm anal about that. That's my anal eyes right there. Is let people enjoy things. That's the thing I'm anal about. Like, just fucking let them enjoy it. My God, it's not doing anything to you. For fuck's sake. Let people be excited about Forsaken. Don't shit all over them for being excited about something. It just makes you an asshole. Don't be an asshole. Don't be that asshole that shits all over people. Nobody likes that. Not in any context or situation does anyone ever like an asshole shitting all over someone.
Mm.
So yeah. Let people enjoy things. That's the takeaway lesson here. Then I'm excited for Forsaken, and you're cautiously optimistic. And I think most of the community shares our sentiments. It's so far as I've seen, it's been a pretty small but vocal minority who's like, oh, you're falling for the bullshit. It's like, yeah, I am falling for the bullshit. I am excited for the bullshit. Give me all of the bullshit. I want it.
Abraham Lincoln said it best. You're never going to please 100% of the people 100% of the time.
True. So. It's very true. So you might as well just give up. Wait. Okay, well, maybe I'm not as inspirational as Abraham Lincoln. All right, well, I would like to thank anyone who and everyone who listened for sitting through this. I don't think it was that bad. This might be a mildly enjoyable experience for anybody listening. But once again, thank you for listening, and we hope to see you in the tower sometime. Unless you're one of those assholes who's shitting on Destiny 2, and you can jump off that tower. Get the fuck out.
Transmat out of here.
Transmat your ass somewhere else.